chapter 4. Then the second, who had spoken of the strength of the king, began to speak.
Men are not men incomparably strong, who rule over land and sea and all that is in them. But the king is incomparably stronger. He is their lord and master, and whatever he decrees to them, they obey. If he tells them to make war upon one another, they do it. And if he sends them out against their enemy, they go and scale mountains, walls, and towers. They kill and are killed, and never transgress the king's command. If they win the victory, they bring everything to the king, both what they plunder as well as everything else. Likewise, there are those who neither serve in the army nor make war, but cultivate the soil. Whenever they sow and reap, they bring some to the king, and they compel one another to pay taxes to the king. And yet he is only one man. If he tells them to kill, they kill. If he tells them to desist, they desist. If he tells them to strike, they strike. If he tells them to lay waste, they lay waste. If he tells them to build, they build. If he tells them to cut down, they cut down. If he tells them to plant, they plant. All his subjects and his armies obey him. Furthermore, he reclines, he eats and drinks and sleeps, but they stand guard around him, and no one may go away to attend to his own affairs, nor do they disobey him. Men, why is the king not incomparably strong, since he is to be obeyed in this fashion?
And he stops speaking. Then the third, who had spoken of women and truth, he was Zerubbabel, began to speak.
Men, is not the king great? And are not men many? And is not wine strong? But who is their master? Who dominates them? Is it not women? Women have given birth to the king and to every people that rules over sea and land. From women they came, and women brought up the very men who plant the vineyards which produce wine. Women make men's clothes, they bring men glory. Men cannot exist without women. Indeed, if men gather gold and silver or any other elegant thing, and then see a woman lovely in form and beauty, they let all those things go, and gape after her, and with open mouths stare at her, all preferring her to gold or silver or any other elegant thing. A man leaves his own father who brought him up in his own country and clings to his wife. He resigns his soul to his wife with no thought of his father or his mother or his country. Therefore, you must realize that women dominate you. Do you not labor and toil and bring everything and give it to women? A man takes his sword and proceeds to wage war and rob and steal and to sail the sea and rivers. He faces lions and he walks through darkness, and when he steals and robs and plunders, he brings it back to the woman he loves. A man loves his wife more than his father or his mother. Many men have lost their minds because of women and have become slaves because of them. Many have perished or stumbled or sinned for the sake of women. Now then, will you not believe me? Is not the king great in his power? Do not all lands fear to touch him? Yet I have seen him with Apamate, the king's concubine, the daughter of the illustrious Spartacus. She would sit at the king's right hand and take the crown from the king's head and put it on her own and slap the king with her left hand. At this, the king would gaze at her with mouth agape. If she smiles at him, he laughs. If she loses her temper with him, he flatters her, so that she may be reconciled to him. Men, how incomparably strong are women, since they can act like this?
Then the king and the nobles looked at one another, and he proceeded to speak about truth.
Men, are not women strong? Great is the earth, high are the heavens, and swift is the sun in its course when it races around the circuit of the heavens and returns again to its place in one day. Is not the one who does these things great? But truth is great and incomparably stronger than all things. The whole earth appeals to truth, and heaven blesses it. And all God's works quake and tremble, and with him there is nothing unrighteous. Wine is unrighteous. The king is unrighteous. Women are unrighteous. All the sons of men are unrighteous. All their works are unrighteous, and all such things. There is no truth in them, and in their unrighteousness they will perish. But truth endures and is strong forever, and lives and prevails forever and ever. With it there is neither partiality nor preference, but it does what is righteous instead of anything that is unrighteous or wicked. Everyone approves its deeds, and there is nothing unrighteous in its judgment. To it belongs the strength and the kingship and the power and the majesty of all the ages. Blessed be the God of truth.
When he stopped speaking, all the people shouted and said,
"Great is truth and incomparably strong."
Then the king said to him,
"Ask what you desire, even beyond what is written, and we will give it to you. For you have been found to be the wisest. You shall sit next to me and be called my kinsman."
Then he said to the king,
"Remember the vow that you made on the day when you became king, to build Jerusalem and to send back all the vessels that were taken from Jerusalem, which Cyrus set apart when he began to destroy Babel, and vowed to send them back there. You also vowed to build the temple, which the Edomites burned when Judah was laid waste by the Chaldeans. And now, O Lord the King, this is what I ask and request of you, and this befits your greatness. Therefore I pray that you will fulfill the vow, whose fulfillment you vowed to the King of Heaven with your own lips."
Then King Darius arose and kissed him, and wrote letters for him to all the treasurers and governors and generals and satraps, ordering them to grant safe conduct to him and to all who were going up with him to build Jerusalem. And he wrote letters to all the governors in Cilicia and Phoenicia, and to those in Lebanon, to transport cedar timber from Lebanon to Jerusalem, and to help him build the city. He wrote in behalf of all the Judeans who were going up from his kingdom to Judah, in the interest of their freedom, that no officer or satrap or governor or treasurer should force his way into their doors, that all the country that they would occupy should be free from tribute, that the Edomites should give up the villages which they had taken over from the Judeans, that 20 talents a year should be given for the building of the temple until it was completed, and that an additional 10 talents a year should be given for daily holocausts to be offered on the altar, in accordance with the commandment to make 17 offerings, and that freedom should be given to everyone who came up from Babylonia to build the city, to them and their children, as well as to the priests who came. He also wrote concerning their support and the priests' vestments in which they were to minister. He decreed that the expenses for the Levites should be provided until the day when the house would be finished and Jerusalem built. He wrote that land and wages should be allocated for all the city guards. And he sent back from Babel all the vessels that Cyrus had expropriated. Everything that Cyrus had ordered to be done, he also commanded to be done and to be sent to Jerusalem. When the young man departed, he lifted up his face towards the heavens in the direction of Jerusalem and praise the King of the Heavens, saying,
"From you comes the victory. From you comes wisdom, and yours is the glory. I am your slave. Blessed are you who have given me wisdom. I give you thanks, O Lord of our fathers."
So he took the letters and went to Babel, where he informed all his brethren. And they praised the God of their fathers, because he had given them release and permission to go up and build Jerusalem and the temple that is called by his name. So they feasted with music and rejoicing for 7 days.